You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
It's been just a little over a week since fires began to spark in Maui and then turned into deadly blazes. Spurred on by strong winds from Hurricane Dora and weeks of dry conditions, a nightmare scenario has played out on the island, with entire neighborhoods in Lahaina reduced to ash and a death toll of over 100 people so far. But while the devastation is immense and difficult to wrap our heads around, there are also stories of strength and of community coming together that we are hearing from the island. Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. All this past week on KCBS, we've been hearing reports from KCBS reporter Jennifer Hodges, who is in Maui. I spoke with her earlier this week to get a closer look at what is happening on the island.
What have you been seeing so far since you arrived in Maui?
Yeah, they reopened the main bypass, the Lahaina bypass, which is one of the main roads that goes into town. So I was able to see the town of Lahaina itself, the destruction, the devastation. I mean, just everything kind of from a ridge above, and then ended up driving down into the town itself. And it was shocking. It was pretty much what I was expecting to see. I was a little surprised at a few different points, because you'd see kind of like a random house pop up here and there in a neighborhood that otherwise was just completely destroyed. So that was kind of surprising to see, you know, burned out cars lining the roads. It was really emotional. At one point, I pulled over on this ridge just right off the Lahaina bypass and was kind of looking down onto the town itself. And just to give you some perspective, Mary, on the Lahaina bypass, the burn area in terms of the damage is pretty much all to the left of the highway. Whereas if you look to the right, you know, you start going up into the mountain and there's homes and that on that side. And I did see some burn areas, but that wasn't as much to the right side of the bypass of the highway where the damage is. It was more on the left. But I was up on this ridge looking down, and a gentleman walked up and you know, and it was just staring down. And I just turned to him and asked, you know, if he lived in town. And he pointed to, you know, nothing that was standing there and said, yeah, that's my house right there. And it turns out that his father had been born in the house back in 1927. The house had been in his family for as long as he could remember. He was Filipino, or is Filipino and native Hawaiian, and all his family members are safe and managed to get out. But the house that's been in his family for many, many years, more than he can remember, is totally destroyed. So it was just, you know, stories like that that I kind of was hearing throughout the day.
So, you know, and in coming from California, you know, like you do, this isn't something that is unfamiliar to us and what we've experienced here. And I even hate to use this term. How does that, you know, how is what you're seeing now, you know, compared to some of the more deadly wildfires that have been faced here in California? How does it compare as far as like the damage done and the people affected?
You know, like you said, Mary, it's a tough one, because it's not like you want to compare in terms of devastation and stuff, but I will say you know, I live in Santa Cruz. I saw quite a bit of the devastation from the CZU fire. I drove up north. I saw some of the damage, you know, in the, with the campfire. And like you said, it's not, we're residents of California. It's not like wildfire is anything new, you know, to you and I. But I will say it did feel different because it felt more eerie, because it was looking down on it. You could tell that it was a town that was once there. And I know the town. I've been to Lahaina numerous times myself, with friends and as a tourist. And it just looked different because it was like, it's gone.
Yeah, it's it just, you know, what we're seeing back here, the footage that we're seeing, and obviously what we've been hearing from you doing your reports, it's something that, again, is familiar to the to those of us here. And yet it's not like something like this can ever become, you know, normal somehow, because this is devastation and this is loss. And I appreciate what you brought up, your interaction with the man who pointed out where his home used to be, because that got me thinking about, you know, we say a lot of times, oh, you know, you carry your memories with you. And but we do have so much tied to the places that we live, to the people who lived there before us. And it's more is being stripped away than just brick and mortar and four walls.
You're going to get me upset, Mary. you don't want me getting emotional on you. I've been doing that all day today, but you're touching for me on something that's like, it hits home for me, because I really, really feel a strong sense of home and what I consider my home and my place. I consider myself to be really home oriented. So when I'm talking to people, and I talked to some people last night who lost their home and they had time to fill two cars full of belongings and get out. And while they're grateful that they got out and they had two cars full of their stuff, they were still telling me that after the fact, they were just thinking of home. And what home means to them and meant to them, and it's now gone. So I personally can't even begin to imagine what that would feel like, because I do feel like my sense of home is so strong. I mean, it's just really upsetting to think that other people, I'm sure, feel that too, you know?
Well, yeah, it's such a huge part of who we are as people, and you know, home means so many different things to so many people. But yeah, this is something that, you know, irrevocably has changed what the residents there are going through. But I know that moments like this do tend to bring out, or can at the very least bring out, the best in people. What have you seen and experienced since you've been there, as far as like what people on the ground are doing to help each other?
It's funny that you say that, Mary, because I've talked to a few different people who have said, can you just make sure and let people know that it's not all bad news? And it's funny to hear, it's not funny, but it's funny to hear people who have lost everything telling you that, saying to you, knowing you're a member of the media, and saying, hey, can you make sure and let people know that we're all Ohana here, which, you know, most people know in the Bay Area means family. You know, we're Ohana. We make time for each other. We're going to be there for each other, and we're in this for the long haul. And I've heard that. I heard that throughout the entire day today. And I talked to several people who lost their homes, and I just was really just inspired and moved by their, I don't really want to say positivity, but just their sense of community, their sense of wanting to help other people, even though they've been left with nothing. So, I mean, obviously, Hawaiian culture and Ohana and Aloha, and what all of that means, it's the real deal. I mean, I don't think it's something that people just say or spat off about. I think it's actually the real deal. People here really do feel that deep sense of community, and I have been seeing it. I drove through donation site that there were just a line of cars, you know, 100 deep waiting to get in to drive through this donation site where they were picking up all sorts of supplies and getting free gas and pet supplies and all that kind of thing. And it was interesting because I was kind of looking around for, you know, like an official to talk with, some, you know, someone from FEMA, for instance, and I did find that person, but I just thought it was interesting that almost every person I was approaching was a volunteer who lives in the community. I mean, these are like people out, you know, helping their own people. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's something. Hearing that, it definitely warms my heart, and it does make me feel that this is a community of people who are going to do their best to rebuild, whatever that means for them.
I've had a few people tell me that they don't care what it takes. They're going to rebuild. They have no plans on leaving Lahaina. I had a few different people send me things on social media, and there was some rumors talking about how people were already approached by people making comments and offering to buy land and that sort of thing. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way, you know, that's really bad. But I did talk with the gentleman I was telling you about, who's Native Hawaiian and Filipino, who I met up on the ridge. He was telling me that he was approached by someone he didn't know, that didn't remember the person's name, who said, well, if you decide you want to sell and just move on, you know, let me know. And he was saying that he was just horribly offended because he said there's no way possible that anyone is taking this land from me that was passed down by my parents from their parents. And I have every intention of rebuilding. So, I mean, I think that's interesting to note.
Well, and I actually feel like that's probably a good place to wrap up the conversation with the knowledge that they want to rebuild, that this isn't something that's going to drive them away, and that they are staying strong, is what it sounds like.
Definitely. And as I was driving that bypass, Mary, heading into Lahaina, I saw Lahaina Strong had been spray painted on a few different things along that route. Some people had actually taken paint on cardboard boxes. I saw on two different areas and propped up cardboard boxes between boulders that read, "We are Ohana." And then, you know, further down, Lahaina Strong. So these are people that I believe are committed to rebuilding this town. Whatever that might look like down the road, it's going to be really interesting to see.
KCBS's own Jennifer Hodges, she is down there in Maui doing lots of great reporting for us about the wildfires and how people are coming together. Jennifer, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me, Mary.
Now we turn to Dr. Mia Livaday, professor of public health at Cal State East Bay. Dr. Livaday grew up in Hawaii and is working from the Bay Area to organize help for the residents of Maui, and is also thinking about the island's future. Dr. Livaday, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
How has this moment been for you, seeing everything that is happening back in your home area?
You know, I personally, I'm still processing a lot. It's still, you know, there's still friends who I haven't spoken with. You know, we've maybe texted, and there's so much uncertainty still. There's still fires popping up around the island, especially upcountry. And it's been really a really heavy week.
I know one element of what you are doing right now is you've been working to organize assistance from here in the Bay Area. Can you tell me more of what you've been doing here for those who are being affected?
Sure. So right now, everything is very reactionary. The main thing is I'm working with local companies and brands to send high need items and raise funds for people to distribute to local communities. I'm working with several groups who are very much grassroots and community led to be putting money and clothes and food and healthcare directly into the hands of people who need it immediately.
How has the response been as far as getting that type of assistance and having people, you know, respond to this call for help?
I think it's been pretty receptive. It's hard to know. You know, some different organizations move a lot faster. We're really prioritizing the needs of families. The group Baby to Baby has been amazing. Several, you know, breast pump companies and diaper companies have been really quick, and formula companies have been very quick to send supplies when needed. And I think it's, you know, everyone wants to pour in right now. I think we're trying to set up long-term funding and support for the families who are going to need it over the next couple of years as we rebuild Lahaina.
The point you were making of, like, you know, right now things are in a very reactionary stage, and but looking towards long-term assistance and what that will take and what that will mean, you know, and obviously funds are a huge part of that. And the ability to give people what they need in order to rebuild their lives. But there's always more to that, isn't there? It's more than just the physical things. There's so much that goes into helping people restart and rebuild. What are you thinking about when it comes to those bigger tasks that lay ahead?
You know, I think one thing that has really blown me away, and it's not surprising, you know, knowing Maui and knowing what community looks like in Hawaii, but it is that the most sustainable work and the most, you know, organized and fastest work that's pouring into the community is all community led. The reaction from the community has been so strong, from local residents in Maui and residents across the islands. Everyone has been so incredibly supportive, pouring into families and people in need beyond their means in some cases. Everyone on Maui is either sending things or hosting families. And long term, I think the challenges are going to be, how do we find sustainable housing for these communities? How do we prioritize rebuilding homes for local families and the Native Hawaiian population in Lahaina? And how do we make sure that they can still be in the place that their ancestors have called home for so long?
Do you already have your own, you know, thoughts or perspective on what it will take and what will need to be done in order to reach that future point where there is sustainable housing, you know, where things, you know, can be livable?
That's a really good question. You know, I can't predict what, you know, exactly what the future needs are going to be. But what does need to happen for the long-term rebuilding of Lahaina is that it is community-led and the center is focused on the people of Lahaina. A lot of the frustration most recently has been with developers and real estate agents seeking land in Lahaina already while we're still searching for the souls lost in Lahaina. And it's so upsetting because Lahaina has such deep historical roots with the Native Hawaiian people. Lahaina is so much more than a tourist town. It is so much more than a place that people go to vacation. Lahaina is the original capital of Hawaii. It is where Kamehameha had his palace. There are Native Hawaiians who can track their ancestry to Lahaina dating back to the 1800s. And so as we think about rebuilding and what the future of Lahaina looks like, it's really important that we make sure that the people whose mana, whose power, and whose community and family are from this place have the strongest voices in leading what that looks like. I think the ways that we get there are still very unknown, but the one thing that is I know will be important is to make sure that those voices have a very big seat at whatever table is making the decisions to move forward.
What you're saying there about people showing up in Lahaina wanting to purchase land from those who live there is something that our own reporter has heard in her time covering the wildfires in Maui. It does get me thinking about the double-edged sword aspect of tourism in Hawaii, because obviously there's the good financial side to having a place that's synonymous with being a tourist destination. But in a time of a disaster like this, you know, I feel like that element can be seen as maybe more negative than not. With everything that Maui is going through right now, and with all that will need to be done to rebuild and to look towards the future, is there a way for tourism and the sense of community that we are seeing so much of during this situation for those two elements to exist going forward?
I think absolutely. But again, the center has to be on the people of Lahaina, right? It can't be focusing on how do we rebuild this town as a tourist town. The focus is how do we rebuild this so that our community can thrive here again, so that they can keep their historical roots and keep the power that is tied to this land with their families. Hawaii is, you know, we talk about how reliant it is on tourism, but there are lots of other pathways that Hawaii does not need to have such strong ties to tourism and to have a strong economy. There are ways that we can host tourists and be sustainable in our tourism without stressing our resources so extremely. There are ways that we can bring jobs that have a more livable wage to these areas that are highly, you know, filled with low wage or middle wage jobs tied to tourism. And so I think that the opportunity, you know, that comes with rebuilding Lahaina is also being very intentional about what this means and the way we want to welcome tourists to the island.
It's such an intense time, I know, for so many people. What would you like to say that is, you know, most important for those of us who aren't dealing with this directly and, you know, want to help or want to better understand? What's the best way for the rest of us to step up and be there for the Lahaina community?
That's such a great question. You know, the images and the stories that are coming out of Lahaina are so heartbreaking. They're truly just absolutely gut-wrenching, you know, knowing that there were families, just complete families that we've lost, to know that there were a portion of the souls that we've lost, our children, is just beyond heartbreaking. And I think it's important that we allow ourselves to sit with the loss of what's happened and to put money and intention into the rebuilding of Lahaina and prioritize this community. I keep coming back to the community because it is really what makes Lahaina the place that it is. And it's important that they continue to have a home there. I think that we want to have tourism. The island is, the west side of the island is closed to visitors, but it's important that we still support the rest of the island and the islands, you know, the south side of the island or the Oahu and other parts of the island with our money and our travel, and to make sure that we are just here for these people and to make sure their stories are not forgotten and to understand that rebuilding is going to take a lot of time and to support all of those efforts. And then I think the other thing that I want to highlight here is that it's important that we recognize that there are existing disparities in this tragic event. 20% of Lahaina residents are immigrants. And so it's really, you know, we're concerned about, you know, all the documentation they lost, of course, but also that we find ways to support people who have different needs than us. You know, a disproportionate of the victims of the fire are likely to be, you know, our elderly, our disabled people who did not have access to cars or information about how fast the fire was spreading. And so I think this is also a moment that's going to highlight just how big some of these inequities in resources are in Hawaii. And hopefully it pushes people to build stronger systems and stronger support networks for communities in moments of disaster response, and also long term, how we can support these people to have better access to the needs that they have.
A lot of work to be done, but it sounds like the community of Lahaina and the rest of Hawaii and hopefully with support from around, you know, the world as well, there's a future there.
Yeah, I think, you know, processing and, you know, grieving looks like a lot of different things, but I do have a lot of faith and confidence in the community response, and that Lahaina will be rebuilt by the people who are from there, and that we will make sure that the families that, you know, have the land there will be able to go back to those homes and rebuild those homes and have a place, always have a place in Hawaii.
That is my hope as well. I just want to thank you so much again for taking the time to speak with me on all of this.
Of course. Thank you.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In Depth online at kcbsradio.com. Just check the podcast tab and look for KCBS In Depth. You can also hear the episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS Radio. Thanks for listening. For KCBS and In Depth, I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.